brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Often on these radio programs, I've encouraged you to pray the opening prayer. The priest prays the prayer on your behalf, but it really helps. In fact, it's essential if you want the prayer to bear fruit, is that you join your thoughts, your mind, as well as your voice, but especially when the prayer is prayed by the priest, that you join in heart with the intentions of that prayer, asking for that grace. As we recall year by year the mysteries by which, through the restoration of its original dignity, human nature has received the hope of rising again. We earnestly beseech your mercy, Lord, that what we celebrate in faith, we may possess in unending love. What we celebrate in faith, we may possess in unending love. May that be your prayer today. Let's celebrate in faith what God has given us, what God has done for us, what God is doing with us. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5, verses 17 to 26. The high priest rose up and all his companions, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, laid hands upon the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, the angel of the Lord opened the doors of the prison, led them out, and said, "Go and take your place in the temple area, the people, everything about this life." So notice the Sadducees, the ones that are used to receiving all the honor and the adoration. Now these, quote, young upstarts are taking over, and they're very jealous because they see the people following after them. They see the worker of miracles going on, all that work going on. And they can't do it. And so instead of saying, "Please come and teach us, please show us what you have, please show us what you know," that's what we ought to be doing. They just get angry and jealous and, filled with jealousy, laid hands upon them and put them in the public jail, disturbing of the peace, I suppose. But during the night, the angel of the Lord opened the doors of the prison, led them out, and said, "Go and take your place in the temple area and tell the people everything about this life." When they heard this, they went to the temple early in the morning and taught. And when the high priest and his companions arrived, they convened the Sanhedrin, the full senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the jail to have them brought in. But the officers who went did not find them in the prison. So they came back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked and the guards stationed outside the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." Can you imagine? When the captain of the temple guard and the chief priest heard this report, they were at a loss about them as to what this would come to. So they're thoroughly confused, thoroughly bewildered. They had posted all these guards. They were locked in jail, and now they're gone. And then someone came in and reported to them, "The men whom you put in prison are in the temple area and are teaching the people." Then the captain and the court officers went and brought them, but without force, because they were afraid and stoned by the people. So as God's word and God's power begins to become evident, it stirs up the people. The things that Jesus had promised, they're beginning to see them. So there must have been much consternation among the people. If your heart is open, if you're humble, if you're willing to learn, they could have benefited tremendously. But instead, they're infuriated because they have broken the law. Read accounts of this over this next week or so, of what it must have been like. And I'm sure it was turmoil. I'm sure it was confusion for the disciples too, because they didn't know how God was going to use them. Was he going to have them stay in jail, or was he going to release them? Was he going to allow them to be beaten, or were they going to be spared? Were they going to be stoned to death, or were they going to go free? They didn't know. Nobody knew. We have the advantage of seeing the whole story, and everything I just said is in there. They had to trust God, that God knew what he was doing. Brothers and sisters, we don't have that kind of startling thing going on today. Although, if we put all the places in the world where Christians are standing up for their faith, perhaps we have not just those signs, but many, many more. When I read about the Syrian Christians, and I read about the Christians in Iraq and Iran, and when I read about all those people in the Middle East who are dying for the cause of Christ, I think of ourselves still quite neat and at home, and we have at least the basic fundamentals. Oh, there are the poor in this country are growing, and we better take a look around where they are and begin to reach out. But all in all, we haven't had to confront what those early disciples in this country, we have yet to confront that level of intimidation, throwing you in jail, beating you, etc. They hadn't yet had to testify by their deaths, but they soon would. They soon would. Brothers and sisters, we don't know what God has in store for us. And I'm not out here to create fear, but I think we need to be cognizant of the reality that's all around us. Our principles have slipped, more than slipped. Some of them have crashed. We're not standing on solid moral ground when we're teaching or asking people to vote for us. What is the life of our families, our schools? There's more disorder and more confusion than been for many, many years, perhaps ever. I don't see statistics yet, but I hear all kinds of stories. They need to be borne out, yes, by statistics. But I just want to say here, how solid is the ground on which we're standing? How solid is our faith? How confident are we in him? How willing are we to take stock? You know, we need at times to stop and to take stock. And I was speaking about that the other day in one of the programs. I think we need to do that in our own lives. How strong in faith am I? Do I live daily by the principles of what I say I believe? Do I live by those standards day in and day out? Do I repent of my sin? Do I run to the nearest confessional? Am I sorry? Am I asking God, make me more and more your disciple? That's what we want to be doing. Psalm 34 tells us the Lord hears the cry of the poor, and he does. Sometimes we don't know that he does. Sometimes our faith is rather weak, especially when we're going through difficulty. But the Lord hears the cry of the poor. He really does. And this Psalm 34 tells us, look to him, that you may be radiant with joy and your faces may not blush with shame. When the poor one called out, the Lord heard, and from all his distress, he saved him. Put your trust in the Lord and keep it there. Even when it feels like things are getting worse, hang on. Trust him. The Lord, angel of the Lord, encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Taste and see how good the Lord is. Bless the man who takes refuge in him. And the gospel is from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 16 to 21. What a powerful passage in the gospel. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. We can turn. We can repent. We can come back. But the time to do that is now. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light. We do. We do. Because some of our favorite things are in the dark, unknown to others. There's a lot of darkness going on today, a lot of living in the dark. And as scripture said, some people prefer darkness to light. What you end up doing is destroying yourself and end up in everlasting darkness. You might think you're in the light, but you're not. Everyone who does wicked things hates the light, does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. His works may be clearly seen as done in God. Brothers and sisters, please, please heed and please take care. I know I'm repeating myself day after day, the last week or so. I know I'm repeating myself, and I'm doing it because it's very deep in my heart. It is a cry for God's mercy upon us. But if we keep rejecting God or turning away from God or procrastinating, taking inventory, procrastinating going to the sacrament of reconciliation, whatever else we need to do to repair wrongdoing, people can get stuck there. I want you in a place where God can plant his image more and more in you, where he can be seen and known and loved through you. So I ask you, those of you who regularly listen to this program, please take inventory. Just take a look, use the Ten Commandments as your guide, and take a look at your life and say, where am I? And what am I going to do? Don't try to do a makeover yourself. Ask the Lord, where do you want to start? What's the most important thing to you? And give me help to know how to do it. Start praying that way. Can always email me. I'm not the only one. There are many people who could answer these questions. But I want you to take some serious time to take inventory of your own life. During this Easter season, I would like to see the glory of God, the power of the cross of Christ, to shine forth more and more fully in your life. And as it does, many people, your honesty and your humility will bring many people to you. And you in turn can bring them to the Lord. May God lead us on our way, brothers and sisters. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.